I think the worst thing also was finding dressing up clothes. Not dressing for Joe, up. But for whichever girlfriend he was with at the time. There was a little nurse's thing, you know, a little teacher's thing or something, whatever. And that was a bit weird because you sort of think, why have you got this under the bed, you know?
Welcome back, everyone. This is Waffling. However, this week we have a very special guest here in the hot seat. It is my actual mother. Obviously, Theo still can't make it, but hopefully we'll be back next week.
Definitely.
So, mother, how does it feel to finally be here on the set of Waffling?
Crazy. Bearing in mind, I clean this room.
No, you don't.
So, it's
Joe's mum still cleans his house.
No, wait, well, that's bollocks. I do it myself now. She did to a point, but I, like, paid a wage. Wait, is that even more? Is that actually a bit, like, derogatory? You shouldn't pay your mum to be a maid.
No, but even so, your mum shouldn't be cleaning your house, whether you're paying her or not, at the age of 25.
Anyways, obviously we asked you guys to send in a whole load of questions as mum is, well, are you our first special guest in real life? No, we had Elliot.
Elliot and Bruce.
Yeah, but in real life.
Oh, in real life. Yeah, Elliot.
Yeah,
Elliot.
We wanted to get some like real life questions to her, but obviously how dodgy that are, like the sort of things I'm actually going to have to say here, like is mental. But the first one I actually want to bring up.
Wait, can I come in?
Okay, go on then,
the
mate.
Very first question.
Go on.
Have you seen Waffling before?
I have. I follow. I don't follow it now, but I used to in the very beginning.
Wait, why don't you follow it now?
Oh,
well,
I wonder.
Because for a start, sometimes some of the things that come out, I don't want to know.
Well, like what? Like what?
Like last week, how you finger a girl? Oh, probably.
Yeah, I don't want to know those sort of things. I really don't. I think, personally, Waffling is a great space for the lads. And
but we have a large female audience as well.
Yeah. And the ladettes.
Like maybe it is more a younger person thing. Also,
your mum watches every single one.
I know. She's probably jealous. She probably wants to be in that seat right now.
Really?
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean,
she likes hearing how her son pleasures females.
I don't think she enjoys that part, but I think she enjoys the sort of, maybe why most people watch it, the relationship that we have with each other. And
No, I actually think it's a good space for you guys to talk about what you need to talk about, because there isn't much available out there for males, I think.
Well, yeah. How does it feel actually seeing, like, obviously the YouTube videos that I used to make? Because obviously you've been around, well, since the beginning. You've been with me a long time now. No, but you've obviously, like, been there since the very beginning of seeing me try to make it from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now that we're obviously doing something like this, how does that seem? Because it's very different to, I guess, like the sort of videos that I did at the beginning.
Yeah, it's very different also because you were sort of like one of the first.
Right.
So if you think of that, from that point of view and from a mother's perspective of wanting her child to go into a career, it was a harsh one because I didn't know where YouTube was going
to
go.
Well, so when I came to you and said, Mum, I'm dropping out of college to pursue YouTube, like, because there are a lot of kids or, like, you know, people that have probably gone to their parents or thought the idea of going to their parents and say, you know, I want to drop out of normal education to pursue a career that isn't normal.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, YouTube wasn't even proven in any way. It had only been around 10 years when I said, look, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
How did that feel for you?
Well, it was the number one thing that whenever I spoke to anybody who, obviously, when you were getting well known, they would say, oh, because of your son, my son daughter wants to be a YouTuber. And that would be something I'd then have to say, well, I don't even know what a YouTuber is.
Would you like to try and discourage them from it?
No, I don't think so. I never discouraged it because obviously life changes and we're always moving forward, particularly in the media and with social media.
Yeah.
I mean, coming from a generation that really, remember, we didn't have television.
Yeah.
Television was introduced.
So now I'm saying, Mum, I'm not going to university. I'm not doing college. I'm doing this thing that's sort of like made up.
Yeah.
That's not even real. You can't even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't go to work.
The thing was when you came home and you said your tutor had told you to give up college.
Well, my my film production BTEC
and was this
tutor?
Was it? I mean, you can bleep the name. Was it Dan?
Yeah,
but he was a good guy.
Don't bleep the name. He was a great guy.
He was
because I pretty much everyone else at college was saying, Joe, don't drop out YouTube. Like, why would you do that to go and pursue YouTube? That's a piss take. Like,
yeah.
Get your qualifications
and then do,
and then maybe see what you want to do. But he was like, when I was saying to him, I was like, mate, look, now is the moment. Like, I'm the momentum with YouTube, with breaking into it. It was like, you need to, if you've got the ball rolling now, if I wait a year, old news, forgotten about. I may not have made the World Cup song, the Ronaldo picking up girls, the WWE moves in public. You know, these videos that really did it for me. I may have missed that boat. And it's I had that feeling. I think I was on 50,000 subscribers. And I was like, I need to capitalize on this. And my heart isn't in school, like, you know, college work. I'm actually, the time I'm spending doing college work, which was still film, I'm actually spending doing YouTube videos. So I might as well just go for this full blast.
Yeah.
And
I think that the ironic thing for me is that when you first started, it was finding ideas and things like that. So as a family, we would have to sit down and try and give Joe some ideas.
Oh, because I get any of all of my creativity from mum.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that.
No. That is where it comes from. No. Where, like, obviously, my mum is naturally funny. Like, doesn't even. but doesn't realise it. I'm not even trying to gas you up. I'm just literally like, the fact is, you have this natural, like, funny, like, you're funny, but you don't realise it. Obviously, just like me. No, but you're really creative and all of that. And it's just sort of like, that is where I wanted to ask you about ideas, because I feel like you were on my wavelength. So when it came to like the World Cup song, I remember, do you remember being in the garden, just like sitting there trying to formulate that idea?
Yeah.
And just, yeah, there's so many times from the very beginning, that's where it would always be. I needed to bounce ideas.
But that was also Theo's initial role in your relationship.
The ideas, man.
Other than the friendship, he was always the ideas, man.
Yeah, because like, obviously I've been able to think out of some ideas, but I need that sort of like someone I can bounce off. And obviously,
Joe's the sort of guy that you give just a thought to, or even a subject or something like that, and hear them run with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's that initial, I suppose, like networking, brainstorming, that type of thing.
It's like a brainstorm, essentially. You sit and you chat with someone and
I wouldn't need you to say the whole idea. Just need you to say either a rough phrase or something, or just something, and then that would spring my ideas.
Absolutely.
Now, what's interesting is obviously you've seen the point at which I went from doing that full pout and that bit, I'm being like, Mum, this is never going to run out. I'm going to be able to do this forever and ever and ever. I mean, slowly getting to a point where I'm like, Mum, I don't like doing this anymore. I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like making YouTube videos.
That actually wasn't even that long after, because you had made multiple videos, I think back in like 2016, 17, where you said, I don't like this anymore. I don't want to do it.
Well, like, that's the point. I mean, after making the song Kitty, which obviously Mum was in, Tom, roll it over the top now. Obviously, Mum played the pigeon. I think when I came to my mum and I was like, right, Mum, for this song that I want to make about our cat, can you dress up as a half pigeon, half horse, and just like, then you got to dance?
Would you ever say to him, I'm not vibing with that idea?
No.
I made
you always back every idea?
Basically, everything Joe's asked me to do, I would do.
Well, it's because I probably still
do, hence me cleaning his house.
It's a great idea. It's just for the videos. No, I do clean it. That's bollocks, actually. Mum.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
The first thing that happened when we walked in today is he
sprinted
in the house and he was like, no, it smells like bins in here. It smells like bins. And you have to throw everything out.
I was at a photo shoot. I was at a music studio in London. I was doing things, okay? And there's no excuse, to be honest. But like, look, your mum's your mum. Anyways, what am I saying?
No, ideas. I mean, basically, the ideas that you threw at me, you know, we did. And we did it as a laugh. Mm. And we did it as a family. And it was fun. And I mean, you know, as much as I don't like performing as such, I'm not particularly a good performer. Oh. That's the wrong thing to say.
Oh,
but
mum. We're not going down that route just yet.
you know, I wanted you to see you succeed. And I'm proud of that.
Videos like, you know, RKOing my mum
Yeah.
Tom, roll it now. Like when I came to you, I was like, Mum, I want to try and RKO you. And then you come back and choke slam me. Like, things like that.
Yeah, like the...
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But is it like you always went along with it? And that is that because you saw the vision? You saw what I was going for? Or, yeah, was it just literally,
I want him to succeed.
But is there nothing that you would have said no to? Like if I was just like, right, oh no.
Don't make it weird.
Yeah, no.
No, I remember. Well, luckily at that age, you weren't sort of talking about that sort of stuff, and I didn't really get to know about it.
No!
That's not what you meant.
No, that's not what I meant. Anyways.
No, Rose. But actually, you brought up an interesting point. You rode the wave up with Joe.
Yeah.
And it's safe to say that you're not at the peak of your career.
Well, it's because, she was there when I had all the. The ideas just came as in, like, we'd think of stuff and it would work and then it would work. It would never fail. All it would do is bang. And then she's seen it where it's like, then I got to a point where I was like, I'd try stuff and it would go wrong and then you try stuff and it not work out. And then I started to, that was happening as a result of me not really having the passion for it anymore. And now we're obviously at this point where we found waffling and some people are like, well, this is the best stuff you've ever done because it's more real. It's more you being you with the boys and, you know, seeing more of like the real you come through.
So obviously you had this like this huge ride up to, let's say the fight was the height of fame. We'll put it that way. Because I don't think, when I say peak of your career, I don't mean I think you're doing your best stuff then.
Yeah.
But like that was the height of the fame. Yeah. And then obviously it was a bit of a roller coaster from then on. Mm. What was that like? Mm.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, because you have to watch Joe going through, and arguably one of the worst periods of your life. Yeah.
One of the most, like, when, obviously a lot of the YouTube boxing all that now is very staged, very set up. That is the most legit fight I think there's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Build up, all of it, investment, both of us absolutely putting our whole hearts on the line. Me and JJ, like, going for it. And when, and the way it unfolded, obviously as a mum, ringside, when she's seen me, you know, every time, whether it be playing for Brighton Hove Albion football, like doing my car driving test, doing whatever it was, me bottling it under pressure and not delivering, she's seen that so many times. So obviously to ringside and physically see that happening must have been fucking mental.
I think the thing is with the boxing, I can't say any more about how proud I am of that situation. I mean, it was incredible to be part of. And I would like to take this opportunity, if he's watching or if he doesn't watch, to say, well done, JJ, and congratulations. And I think you're one of the hardest working people in the world and you deserve all the success that you've got, because I think without you, Joe's career would have been not so colourful. And I think that has been exciting. But putting that aside, just to see how much you both put into that fight and that you wanted to achieve the top of the game in that area, to become the biggest white collar boxing
match
in history? I mean, that will never be taken away.
And until someone beats it.
Also came from an idea that of just you and Theo.
Yeah.
You and Theo as mates, really just messing around. And then the journey, well, that's another story, because the journey was hard from a mum's perspective. Well,
yeah, because that was the thing. Like, you were making Joe's dinners and stuff.
Yeah, so I did all I could, and we as much as you know, we wanted to win, don't get me wrong, I wanted Joe to win, our level of commitment was harder because we just had my personal trainer really and a boxing coach and me cooking dinners and doing the nutrition side.
But we wanted to show that basics,
that was it.
The basics, you know, is all you need. You don't need the flash and the glitz and the glam of like whatever the top of the range stuff is in London, for example. Like, we could just rely on pure hard work, commitment, working together. Like, was that we wanted to show that prevails. And obviously,
didn't pan out.
It still
could have. I mean, I still look back. We didn't share any of that journey together.
Well, that's
I went to the fight, but I still truly believe it, that it could have gone in your favour quite easily.
Everyone I've really spoke to knows truly what I am about and capable of in terms of like sports wise, whatever. My downfall has always been when it gets in front of the bright lights, now's the time to perform, Joe, bottling it. Right. And it's happened multiple times. But that's the thing, like, I think the ultimate thing, that I I've wanted to show moving forward, hence with the DJ stuff, still pursuing the music. Like, all of my preferred stuff now is live camera work.
Yeah.
That is still a I never used to be able to do that. It would always have to be re-roll, like, as in, do a retake. I need to be able to edit it. Whereas now, like, I'm getting more and more comfortable doing that. And do you know what I mean? And that's what I've taken away.
Like, waffling.
Yeah.
I know people say it's changed and it feels like more professional now, whatever. This used to be the most overproduced podcast in the space, and now we do nothing to it. Literally, it goes out.
It's raw, isn't it? It's really raw.
That's what.
And that's that. I mean, that's, I suppose, if anything, of my nerves of today is experiencing that, the fact that it is just talking and giving that emotion out, and you know, whatever the questions are going
to
be.
This is what we were saying. It's definitely harder to come on a podcast than it is to be
a pigeon.
Like, do you want to be in my video, my short little video where no one's going to know anything about you?
Yeah.
You have to talk for like a minute, if that.
Yeah.
Whereas this is an hour of people diving deep into your darkest secrets.
Now, guys, we have a quick message from our sponsor. Now, firstly, mother, have you ever done investing?
No.
Never?
Well, the odd thing.
Well, come see, come so. You've maybe been put off by the idea, you don't quite understand it. Well, we have Free Trade, right? Which is basically Wafflin's best friend. I believe they've got the most ad reads ever on Wafflin.
Brilliant.
So what they're saying is that for, you know, the likes of you, I, and all of you, if you go to freetrade.io/Wafflin and you register and fund your account, you will randomly get allocated a free share worth between £300 and £200. Now, this, obviously, you know more than anyone, they have a great app. Can you actually sort of like expound on it a little bit?
The app is, Jenny, even you could use it.
Ooh.
You know, this is the easiest app for investing. It's just clean. You see what you want, buy it. That's it. And it stores in like your little wallet. It has your portfolio, how much money you've made.
Also, it is FCA authorized and FSCS protected. So basically completely trustworthy and safe. So if you want to get involved, obviously the disclaimer I must say is don't forget when you invest, your capital is at risk. The value of investments can go up as well as down, and you may receive back less than your original investment. However, let your money do some work. If you could afford to lose it, why not put it into something like this?
And
what?
Let's not forget that just signing up, you get a free share. Anyway, this is free money.
Yeah. Essentially. So it's freetrade.io/Wafflin. That's freetrade.io/Wafflin for your free share. Back on with the show. As my mum then, moving forward, like, what in your most ideal scenario, I do next career-wise? Do you think, like, Wafflin, go with it? Obviously, you know about the music stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Do you think, Joe, you know what? Make videos. You're good at that. Go back to the YouTube videos. You obviously know me more than everyone. What do you think? Because so many people, obviously, week in, week out, are like, oh, Joe, you should try this. Joe, you should do that. Oh, we like it when you do this. But is there an opinion that you have?
If anything, my opinion is that you started off in YouTube when it was fresh and at the beginning of something. And it's like any career that you choose in life, you've got to continuously progress and work on that. And I think you did a conversation with The Rock when he said that, you know, you have to work at what you do and put passion into what you do. And I think all I would say is that you've got to go with what is truly passionate in your heart, and that way then you will shine.
I think
all of us, if you're not doing something that is passionate to you, It shows.
Well, that's what the name of Eddie Hearn's podcast, No Passion, No Point. And that's something that his the thing that his dad said to him, is that if there's no passion, there is no point. And that is the facts. Like my results of what I'm doing are literally night and day difference. If there's passion, it's likely to be fucking quality. If there's none, it will be so shit. Like, it'll be like, mate, he's rubbish now. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, slowly, as my passion's gone down for something,
That doesn't mean to say, though, that you are going to achieve that passion at the first attempt of you trying something.
Oh, no, yeah. There's failures.
And so don't let, and I don't want to call them failures, but don't let those things that are maybe not at the top where you want to be define what you're going to do. Mm. And I think with the boxing, that is what I said to you after that fight, is don't let that defeat define you, you know, because what came out of, well, look at it now. What came, with the TikTok and YouTuber thing happening now?
Oh, well, the event.
I mean,
the event
thing. Yeah, I mean, that is amazing, the way it's moving forwards. Look at Logan Paul, Mayweather, and the Paul family, what they've achieved with it.
They are riding off the back of you.
But that's the thing.
Absolutely.
But fair play, but it's all good coming up with an idea. So I can say, oh, yeah, I started it, but they have run with it. And yeah, so it's like, yeah, fair play. Do you know what I mean?
Money talks, and at the end of the day...
Oh, there's huge money in it, yeah.
You know, what people don't realise, Joe, is that you got into it when it was passion, not when it was about money.
Not when it was about the money, so we didn't earn any money from it.
You just wanted to create good content.
Yeah, I just thought it was a sick idea, imagine me against KSI, my YouTube idol growing up.
Absolutely.
And now I'm fighting him in a boxing match, selling out an arena, doing the biggest event that YouTube's ever seen.
Yeah.
Fucking huge. The money was the same. I didn't even pick a weight class. We didn't even do it a certain way. Like, all the everything else, I just don't give a shit. It's just like, I just want to do this event and do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And the one thing I wanted to do that day when, and I spoke to Ethan's mum about this, was that I actually did want to go and meet JJ's parents.
Oh, really?
And I wanted to give them a hug and say, whoever wins out of this and whatever's been said in the past, etc., you know, I want you to realise that I want to be... friends, you know what I mean.
Did you get to meet them?
No, I never got to meet them.
His mum shook my hand afterwards in the ring, and Deji gave me a hug.
Yeah, no, that would have been nice.
I don't think you'd do that anymore.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it's interesting. Well, I know, but that contributes when I say, like, Deji away from the cameras. I mean, I know there were loads of cameras at that point, but, like, gave me a hug. After he lost his fight against Jake Paul, backstage, me and him were talking for a while about, like, things and whatnot. I was giving him support, and it's like away from. I don't know when it's just me and him in real life. It's like I don't know, different.
Yeah, but it's entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah, but then he gets onto a camera and we just chat shit. So do I.
I think that situation. I do think the pair of you are as bad as each
just
other.
Little bitches,
like, yeah. You just like egg each other on. I swear.
Yeah, dodgy.
But then, I want to talk about, like, obviously, you deciding to do this career. YouTube and whatever.
Yeah.
If it did fail, obviously you were behind Joe the whole way. At what point do you say to a child, this isn't working?
Oh, that was it, really. It was really hard because, obviously, YouTube was a lot better paid in those days.
No, they weren't.
Well, you did get...
We weren't.
But you got more money per view.
Yeah, from
we don't.
YouTube.
No,
Bruv. In those days.
No.
Didn't
no,
you?
No, incorrect. No, what
what
now?
What went down then?
What went down?
As in what?
Mum, the year I did the boxing fight, I didn't do any work. I didn't do any videos.
No. But when you were doing Kitty and all those ones and all the Ronaldo and that's on 20 million views plus and whatever.
Yeah, though that earns less than what videos can earn now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in fairness, Ronaldo. That.
No, mum. What probably changed is, like, I was doing... No, I don't even talk about my earnings. I earn more now than I earn then.
Yes, I know you do, but I think...
I know you do. Where were you getting about?
What I'm trying to say is that, you know, Luke's asked me a question about at what point would I have said to you, don't, you know, this is not worth pursuing.
Yeah.
And I think while you were doing those videos, you were earning a living. And so, therefore, while you were earning a living, that was okay. It could be...
Well,
any
at
job.
At first, when I was still at college, I was earning about £1,000 a month from YouTube videos.
Which was more than anyone else at college.
When I was 17 or 18.
Yeah,
so that's when I was like, mum, there's potential here. I'm earning, if I was to go to, because you were trying to get me at 16 to go and get a normal job.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, I was like, no, let me do this YouTube thing. Let me do it. Because I'm earning £1,000 a month and it's going to go up. It's going to go up. Trust. And then I remember when I got, one point, I got £10,000 a month. And it was like, look, da 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 da. But like, at what point? So you're saying financial reasons would be what govern whether it's a success or not. Not if I'm making a fool of myself, being a weird.
No, but
I don't know.
But
do you know
I
mean?
The point is there is that if you are to pursue it as a career,
right.
It has to be financially sustainable.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like that, because that is the be all and end all of any career. I don't think anyone really wants to go and work.
If
we didn't have to, but we have to for money. No.
It's the two things. It was the passion. Mm. As soon as your passion went, I then did have, I think we did have conversations about, well, you know, maybe now is the time you need to go and get a normal job. You know what I mean? And we had those conversations,
yeah.
didn't we?
Yeah.
That lack of passion also came at a bad time because there was, I mean, we've spoken about it before, where you didn't have much money.
Well, yeah, because so I didn't, the year of the boxing fight, didn't earn anything because I was training. Obviously, didn't earn anything from the boxing fight, which we thought we would get money from. So lots of outgoings. And then tax bills. Very, very, very big tax bills.
That took ballpark figures?
Well, how many? Strong 5-6 figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, strong. And it was just like, right, all that money gone. I'm now left with nothing. So it's like, I've got no passion for videos. I'm now having to take brand deals for the sake of it, just to accumulate money again. And it's just like, I've got no idea of what I want to do. Mum, what do I do?
Yeah.
I've absolutely effed it. And then that was obviously mum saying, look, you need to look at getting a real job. You even spoke about like going, getting like the local supermarket.
Yeah.
Like being deadly serious.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, mate, yeah. And I was like, I can't. Like, not that, no disrespect, but it's just like, that's the issue now. I can't go and get a normal job because it would cause, where people would recognise and take the piss.
Yeah.
There would, do you know what I mean? It's like,
too many
I'm not going to get a job in a supermarket.
But also, Joe did his work experience in the leisure centre, was it?
Yeah, mate.
About the van again, are we?
Oh, van.
Oh, and that was the vans, yeah. But he had a leisure centre job, and you were cleaning the
drains.
Rooms.
I was cleaning the drains, and I was like, look. But things like that is what almost motivated me. Like, I want to do something that I'm passionate about. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm having to put myself through something I don't want to do in order to get money.
Yeah.
So, and that's the point at which I found myself doing something I don't want to do. And that's what's mental, because a lot of people would go, YouTube is the ideal job. It's like an actual dream. So I'm like sitting here like, how am I like feeling like this that I did about cleaning drains, about being a YouTuber and doing what my dream was? It's like, how can this work? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the ironic thing is also is the fact that you need to sort of tell your viewers that you had that struggle over what people consider to be a dream job.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that you were thinking, maybe this isn't for me. And yeah, it doesn't matter what you choose to do in life. You know, there are always fours and against is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And that's interesting. When you're striving and working so hard, particularly when you're at uni or you're trying to go up the career ladder, to realise that these struggles happen along the way.
Well, and this is the thing, and people always, they boil it down simply to money. So people would look at it and be like, well, how can you be struggling? You're earning, you know, 5 figures a month. Mm. Like, there can't be any struggle there. But, like, there's so much more to it than money. I know we say, like, to have a sensible career, you do need to be able to be financially stable, but you have to be happy as well. Absolutely. In everything that you do.
Well, believe it or not, Joe is actually a very sensitive soul, and yes, he is, and I think probably that's why he gets on with girls so much, because he has a female side to him, you know, that's very sensitive.
Feminine
side.
You're raised by females.
Well, yeah.
But you have a feminine side to you that's very sensitive to other people's emotions. And I think that is a good thing. But that has held you back also.
Held me back?
Well, not held you back, but that's...
I can't be as cutthroat as I make out I am.
Yeah.
Because I actually am a bit too sensitive.
Yeah.
Well, because a lot of people would have switched off and just like been like, oh, well, this is raking it in for me. I'm just going to like churn out shit and just...
Yeah, you had you wanted to always be a good self-achiever, I think.
Well, yeah, but overall, anyway. You know, I think, but like fast forwarding to now, like obviously I'm currently, you know, working with different music producers. Brilliant. Like that are, you know, big names in the charts, like, and we're looking to basically make a big push. Like I've been talking to Polydor Music Label and... Like, that is looking like a very promising thing out of nowhere. And something that I want to ask you about is when you speak about this struggle, okay, that can happen in no matter what you do, like, if there's you can't get away from having these struggles and downfalls and whatever. I found that a lot of time when you think that the hard work you're putting in at this specific point is going to pay off here. So I'm putting in all this work, and it's going to pay off by me, the videos, for example, going down well, and et cetera, et cetera. But the way this music producing label opportunity has come around is almost like I'm getting rewarded with that coming out of nowhere from the hard work that I did back then. But absolutely. I didn't even realise that hard work was actually for this. I thought it was for that, but it's actually for this thing that has come after.
Yeah, but I think you'll find, and I can talk from experience now, having had a life and all my working careers and things.
Yeah.
There are things that you'll do when you're 18, which will come to fruition when you're 56.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? So everything that you do, you are doing for a reason. You may not realise at that time that you're doing it, but it will happen. And so that is why you should put your all into everything. You know, from my perspective, and, you know, enjoy everything you're doing, you know, but these little things that are happening now are coming out of the hard work that you put in previously. I mean, when you think of the marketing and self-management that you've done in getting where you are, well, you know, other people have teams of people doing that. You have managed to pick up, you and your fellow YouTubers have managed to pick up millions and millions of people to following you. And, you know, that is a huge achievement.
Mm.
Huge achievement.
Have you ever been tempted to do it yourself?
No.
Because there are some mums of YouTubers like Morgs, his two parents, Thog Dad.
Yeah.
Like, no, mum, there are parents. So obviously, you know, like you were involved in my videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Then made their own channel.
Yeah.
And they like, did almost like family stuff.
Morg's mum takes the piss, as in the amount of the following she's got and probably like
5 million subscribers.
Like, the money
still?
She's making off like this sort of family element of YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, how
doing a diss track on her son, didn't she? They both did diss tracks on each other.
They've done some of the most ridiculous stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. But so, I mean, so that never tempted you?
No. I don't know. I mean,
could you even imagine it?
No.
I
couldn't imagine it. I mean, I'd like to. I think we've had things where even brands have sort of said, bring your mum along.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, that.
Do you want your mum, like, as in, we want your mum to be involved in part of the brand deal.
Yeah, but I've always thought, I don't know. I don't know whether that
would charge extra for that.
Well, that's instantly what Phil says, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
in, like,
get a fee for it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'd never get the money. It'd always go to someone else.
You're robbing off your mum.
Not at all. Yeah. But wait, should we bring in some of the viewers' questions?
I'm going to let you take the questions, but I obviously put out a story yesterday.
Yeah.
A lot of them, Jenny, I'm really sorry. They're all terrible questions.
Yeah,
which I'm not going to read out.
They just want to see me embarrassed, don't they?
Well, no, I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, and Joe, I mean, they're derogatory. I'm not going to lie. That's what they are.
Okay.
I don't mind. I mean, honestly, if you want to throw some in, I will be as honest and as candid as you want me to be. I don't mind.
Hi.
Hang on a moment. If I can do a video about vibrators or whatever happened all those years ago, then, you know, go for it.
That is true. It's not going to get worse than that, I don't think.
Hi, Joe, Luke, and Joe's mum.
Hi.
How did you end up finding Joe's plastic doll under his bed?
Oh, God.
Also, what was it like finding your iPad with Joe's website still open?
Right, okay. Well, finding the doll under the bed was quite weird because, again, I think I was actually doing the housework. But that was when he lived in another place, of course. I think the worst thing also was finding dressing up clothes, not dressing for Joe, but for whichever girlfriend he was with at the time. There was a little nurse's thing, you know, a little teacher's thing or something, whatever. And that was a bit weird because you sort of think, why have you got this under the bed, you know? But
what goes through your head as a mum when you pick that up? Do you, like, you know, what are you thinking? Because obviously the last thing you want to do is have that image in your head of Joe.
Can I be brutally honest with
you? Yeah, please.
No. From a mum's perspective, you want your son to be and show all these traits of being, you know, a very he-man and a very...
He-man?
Well, you know, very alpha, put it that way.
Oh, well, is this not a little bit like gender... dodgy.
Well, hear me out. And you want that because, you know, that's a good thing. You know, he's going to eventually obviously settle down, find a wife and have a family. And, you know, that would be good.
But you used to think that I was gay, mum.
Yeah, hang on a moment. But, you know, when you start finding these things, you know, Durex is in the drawer and or, you know, other things and whatever. Yeah, it's a little bit of a...
But is it? I get your point about the He-Man comment. Is that more? It's like, okay, I know he's on a, like, if they're finding their sexuality and you're finding all these things, you're like, right, he's on the right path, as in he's, you know, getting out there, exploring.
Yeah.
Like, it must be reassuring because you think, you know, of people that are, there are people our age that are virgins.
Yeah.
And I feel like as a parent, I would be worried about a child that maybe isn't getting out there and exploring, like whatever gender they're going for, I would be worried if they weren't sexually active or sexually promiscuous. And
yeah, I think from a parent's perspective is that you just want your child or children to be safe. And that is what I would consider to be the best thing. So I always looked after my kids and tried to give them the space to experiment with whatever they wanted to do within the family environment.
What do you think? Because there are parents that would find that stuff and actually get livid and tell them off and be like, you are bad, you're naughty, this is disgraceful and disgusting. But are you saying you're promoting the idea of
expressing... I'm not promoting anything.
What? No, but encourage, like, saying it's quality.
What I'm saying is that every one of us needs to have a safe space to be themselves. And if that means that the first time you have alcohol, you go and have it on a park bench, or you have it maybe with a friend in your bedroom. I'm not sure. What would be the best place? I mean, at least if you were having a drink within my company and you had too much, I would be able to look after you. Whereas if you're down on the seafront and you can't walk and you're being ill, you know, who's looking after you then?
I think like your parents allowing you to do all these things, but sort of with that supervision, is much more reassuring to the parent.
It's reassuring to the parent, whether that actually happens or I'm not promoting that. I'm not saying go and do that. But what I'm saying is, from my perspective, it was always more comforting to know that you and Amy were looked after.
But looked after, so having a sex doll under the bed and being looked after, like, what was that? Because I didn't actually use it. Nah, because I got
you
it.
You must have used it.
No. I did get it, but it wasn't, no, because it made me realise I wanted to experience the real thing, so I just lobbed it under the bed.
But were you a virgin when you had it?
Yeah, massive one. That's the thing, I was too scared, mate. I was too scared. Like, I'd say to you, I was like, Mum, I'd get into the situation, I don't know what to do, I'm just terrified.
Mate, because I'm also not going to lie, because you two talk about that sort of stuff. Yeah. This might seem really weird to some people that Joe is sitting down with his mum.
As a family, everyone's just open. It makes it easier.
I got my hair cut earlier and I was speaking to Tommy and I was like, I don't even think it's going to be that weird because, like, you two have these strange conversations.
Well, it's just like, it's what I'd say, like, it's not dodgy. It's more of just like, look, as a family, if you're able to be, the more people you feel comfortable talking about struggles and things, no matter what it is about, the actual easier your life is. So it's like people going, oh, you're so weird. It's like, mate, like, if you were able to actually talk in that way, maybe it actually might be reassuring and useful rather than as weird as you maybe think it is. Because, I mean, like, look, I mostly have been brought up by females, like you say. So it's like, I need to ask someone or someone to speak to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I know what you mean. Whereas, like, I have an older brother, so maybe if I ever needed that conversation, I could speak to him. But you sort of had, you didn't have that, so you had to rely on your mum.
It's just one of those things. We've always been very open. I was always open with my mum as well.
Did you bring the doll up when you did you say to Joe, like, I saw what was under your bed?
She was like, it was maybe just a passing jokey comment, like, oh, and the thing that's under your bed,
And with regard to the iPad thing,
the iPad thing,
well, that just, I think most mums have found that, haven't they?
Yeah, but I went down a slippery slope.
What?
Which, like,
you got very desensitized to it, didn't
you? Yeah.
But this is...
you think as a parent, maybe you should say, no, you don't use pornography?
Well, yeah, I mean... it's a bit of a difficult one from the point of view that most males do use pornography in some way. I think what I got upset about, if I'm brutally honest with you, is the fact of seeing, when I looked at some of the pictures, that most of the girls are enhanced, shall we say.
What do you mean enhanced? Oh. I like a bit of realism.
Oh, what, no, did they have, like, the fake...
Surgery.
No, they don't, but that's just the adverts, mate, on the side. Do you know, like, girl, come to fuckbook.
Yeah,
grow your cock 9 inches by taking this pill. Yeah.
No, but I think...
nothing was enhanced.
If you were looking at someone that is naturally
No, but that's
beautiful.
What I go for.
No, but...
What are you on about?
Yeah, but maybe not when you're watching porn.
No, yeah, it's always been the case. No, it has.
Dead silence.
Oh, this is awful. Oh, God.
No, but is there anything that could have come up on that screen that would have made you worried?
Worried?
Yeah, or like...
Yeah, I wouldn't have fancied animals or children.
Animals or children? Children.
Mum. That would have put me off a bit. But, yeah, I don't know.
Me neither. Anyways, right, you got any questions or should I whip out another one of mine?
You've got to remember one thing, I've got to say, in the 1960s, if you watched a porn film, all you got was a Swedish girl with a kerchief on. And that was it. So, yeah, they have changed a bit over time.
Mental.
A lot more accessible now as well. You probably didn't have a collection, but the thing used to be you'd have like a collection of whatever, like hidden under your bed somewhere.
We didn't have a collection, did we? I think Theo actually gave Joe a Jordan card at one point in his life when he was about
Katie Price.
Yeah, and it, you opened it and it said, come on, big boy or something, and you were appalled by it.
Really?
So
No. It's because it was like my stepdad giving me, I don't know.
You have a very different relationship with your stepdad, didn't you? You have the relationship with your mum that maybe most people have with their dad.
Yeah. I think that's
because
you ain't got a dad.
Well, but Phil's been like a very good father figure to you.
Well, yeah, but it's in like not actual dads.
Not as in conversations, open conversations.
But yeah.
I didn't want to bring the mood down or anything.
But anyways, oi, so I actually only had that question. I didn't favourite the other one, so we're going to have to go to your ones from Instagram.
I've got to go through Instagram.
You'll go through them. Oh, no, wait, I took photos. Wait, hold up, everyone. That's what I did. I didn't favourite them. I took photos of them. Right, so bear with me. Right, they're coming up now. Now, guys, we have another sponsorship message. And this time, who's it from, Luke?
Beer 52.
Now, Beer 52. Great community, I'd actually call them. What you can get every month is a case of beers that have been like basically hand selected from all over the world.
Whoa.
So yeah, no, it's unbelievable. They actually had one called Buxton beer in the last week we did. So, you know, you can actually get smashed on Buxton.
Yay.
I believe that one was from Belgium.
Yeah. So it's a collection of all these like craft beers.
Yeah.
And you get a different lot each month. So it saves you from just getting the normal cans of Carling or Stella.
Good to share with friends in the garden.
100%. Now we are getting you 8 free beers.
Oh,
that's right, a case of 8. All you've got to do is cover postage, which is $5.95, but what's that, like one beer in a pub?
And also, I'm not gonna lie, right, we got sent a crate each. They're just normal crates that you receive. I got a golden ticket in mine.
Shut up.
So I get, I'm not sure if everyone else gets these, but they must put them in, some of them, so I get a free crate. I don't even have to pay delivery for my next one.
Oh my Lord. Brilliant. So you could get the golden ticket. I mean, if that is in spontaneously random orders, why not? But you also get a magazine, a snack, and, oh my God, you can even get an alcohol-free option. So
really?
Select that. So if you're pregnant or you don't like, you know, don't like alcohol, then yeah, you can get that. All you got to do is pay the $5.95 postage. But the all important thing is you must go to www.beer52.com/waffling. That's on screen now for your free case. So enjoy Beer 52. We love you guys. And let's get on with the show. What's an embarrassing story of Joe from his childhood? Now, one actually came to mind, but I don't know what you're going to say.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say when I used to wee behind the back of the sofa.
Yeah, we got questions about that as well.
I used to excite me.
And how old were you?
No, not in a dodgy way. I used to feel really, like, naughty.
That's because it is quite a naughty thing to do.
Not dodgy, not dodgy. No. Not in like a sexual way. I was like five.
I just think you were rebelling about the carpet. The carpet needed changing and that was it.
But is there anything else like dodgy from my childhood? I mean, I don't even know.
From your childhood?
Yeah,
What was Joe, what did you think of Joe, obviously? We spoke about last week, back in the year seven sort of period, where he'd go around calling himself the Wellard and everything.
Yeah, year seven. Because I got bullied at Denton, didn't I?
Yeah.
But was there ever a period where, because most parents must have this, I'm sure, where you thought, he's actually going for a phase where he's a bit of a cock?
That's been most of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
When?
Joe has always been, ever since he was younger...
A dickhead.
A dickhead. Yeah, no, he's always been... how can I say? If Joe comes into the room, he has the attention on him. Everything stops for Joe. And basically, that still happens now. If Joe comes round...
attention-seeking, massive little wanker.
If Joe comes round, then everything... All the attention is on him, and I think, if anything, that gets to Amy a bit sometimes.
Amy's my sister.
Yeah.
What, so there's conflict?
No, I don't think so, mate. I don't know.
Not conflict, but it's just the fact that Joe's career and life, etc.
Yeah, that doesn't help. That
is probably... if you think poor old Amy, she's lived in the shadow of Joe, from a very early age...
Yeah.
And Joe, he also, was scouted for Brighton and Hove, and we went and did all that with him. So that was from the age of
11, 12 age. But what we're saying here is that embarrassing story.
Embarrassing story.
Do you know what I mean? So there's nothing embarrassing, really. Because a lot of people were asking about that.
I'm sure there are, but I can't really remember.
Because the other questions are things like, was Joe always a little bitch? You've obviously said yes.
Yeah, and this is the thing. A lot of the questions I got, there's a lot of use of the word flaps and...
Flap? Oh, what, as in, really horrible,
Really, really horrible sort of questions that are... What,
rather than, appropriate sort of, insightful... Not incestual. Insightful.
Not incestual.
No, insightful sort of, questions. Because that's the thing, obviously what? We ask people to send in these things and it always comes out. They always go to that sort of thing. Why?
Yeah, because I feel we haven't set that tone. I think we talk about things, a lot of sexual things, but we do always try and keep it nice, and they're always based
and pleasant.
Yeah, they are based off serious things, and a lot of these are just think about what you send.
Yeah,
it's actually quite horrible.
Whereas people can hide behind their phone, isn't it? But one here goes how do you deal with hate and people hating on your son?
Yeah,
have you ever got any hate from people?
I'm lucky, actually. You guys have always been really good to me, and thank you. I appreciate. I don't know where I'm looking at, but thank you.
Anytime.
I
really, your camera's really, that top one.
Really, really appreciate all that you've ever done for me, and I've even had people direct message me, and we've had conversations off of the back of Joe's, sort of life, really. So it's been good, but hate when. He was doing YouTube, first of all, and you used to get lots and lots of hate. It was quite hard to read. And I still, now, whatever you do, I still look at the comments. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody notices, but I do like some of them as well. So, if you get an I'm Jenny Harris, then that's me.
Plug in the Insta.
Plug in the
Should
Insta.
Should we put it up?
Yeah, Tom, put it at I'm Jenny Harris.
Yeah, even I've got 6,500 followers. But anyway... but no, it is horrible when but Joe taught me, to be quite honest, because I used to say to him, don't you get upset, and he'd say that's part of it,
game's the game,
that's part
but
of it.
But that's the thing, I would start getting upset when I actually agreed with them. That's what it would be for me. So
yeah.
People just chatting shit, I'm like, you're jealous, mate, you're a little fucking loser that's embarrassing his own life. I'd just be see what it's saying about them rather than what it says about me. And that's the thing, happy people don't write hate because they're not hateful beings if you're happy with who you are. So that's how I'd see it. It's when the comments that would get to me is oh, your videos aren't as good as they used to be. I really like you, Joe. You're a great guy, but a bit shit now. Because when I started seeing that, that's the sort of stuff.
Because we got one actually talking about waffling the other day, and you screenshotted it and sent it to me, and you're like, has he hit the nail on the head here?
Yeah.
Which, what, I mean, you can read it out if you have it.
Yeah, so we got a comment from a Waffling Mafia member regarding the actual show, and I'll just quickly, like, read it out for a bit. It goes, when waffling first happened, I loved it. It felt authentic, but as the episodes have progressed, I felt less and less connected to the videos and you boys personally. I think the setup of uploading every week, no matter what, could be possibly causing this. Also, maybe because it looks a little more professional, like the setup looks professional, like
looks,
it actually
looks nice.
Looks nice and actually like quality. Now, but basically he goes, I used to love how spontaneous and off the cuff videos were. Another possibility could be that I've grown up and Joe somehow feels a little immature now. Now, I definitely like slash relate to Luke the most on the podcast, as I feel he's just being himself and not trying to act playful for the cameras. I've definitely felt myself tuning out of the last few episodes, whereas when the pod first started, I would wait up for the videos to go live. So basically, I'm just inauthentic, pretending to be someone I'm not, and just like
but
immature.
Isn't that, as we all grow up and change, we develop and grow and our ideas and interests grow and how you perceive people changes as well. What you thought was funny when you were 17 isn't going to be the same at 27. Yeah.
Waffling is 2 years old now.
Yeah.
And it's a very different show to what it was at the beginning.
But I think that's what's so special about YouTube in itself is the fact that you can look at videos from every walk of life and see how people have grown and how they've moved forward and how life and social life in particular has affected them. And that's exactly the same with you guys, you know?
Yeah, but as in, like, I guess what the bit I focused on there is, like, I used to, when I was like, oh no, I only want to do waffling when we're all like in the mood for it, but financially we weren't able to get ad reads because they want to buy like 15 episodes in a row.
Sure.
Yeah. And like, so as a business, it couldn't operate like that.
Yeah.
However, I was like, we get the best stuff when we do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, do we have to do it week in, week out? Some weeks we're up for, some weeks we're not.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, there's always yin and yang, positive and negative.
Absolutely.
For everything. If you want to, and often when you want to make money, the quality or the, I don't know, there has to be something that
it's
gives.
It's the trade-off, isn't it? It's the trade-offs between whatever you're going to do.
Which, I mean, we are making changes to next season.
I mean, next season, yeah, we're going to get more and more guests on. I think that's what's necessary as well. Like, even probably having you on here, having my mum's point of view, like, and the dynamic you bring, like, it's probably been different. It's probably, like, people are probably watching right now or listening.
It's refreshing.
And going, oh, my God, this has been so cool. It's like they would have taken things that we don't even realise. And I think that's the cool thing. That's where having different guests on for future episodes is going to be good. The only thing is where we live down here in Eastbourne, a London-based studio like Jackmate is what
because
is more useful, maybe.
Well, not that I want to, you know, I don't want to shit on you being here, but Jackmate was going to be the fill-in.
Yeah, it was going to be this week, but we're too far away.
Yeah, it's like an 8-hour round trip for him, so it doesn't make sense, but we are very grateful that you're here.
No.
Yeah.
I think what would
I
we
think
have
it's
done?
About time I made an appearance after all
I think
these
so.
Years
you,
anyway.
You know what? There was a lot of calls for
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
I'm not
no,
gonna
no,
lie.
I, totally. No, now, something nice. That actually someone's asking about is, you know, the Ouija board video that we did?
Yeah.
So back in the day, Tom overlay this one. Basically, me and mum and the other family members were Amy, Phil and Elliot, and then me. We went to a haunted manor house down the road and did like a ghost sort of experiment. Now, what actually ended up happening, obviously we tried to get the Ouija board to work. It didn't work for like the first half an hour. Then it really did start to work.
Yeah.
The fire alarm was set off by itself and then it spelt out fire, leave, go. And what obviously people naturally, because it's YouTube, go, oh, fake.
It wasn't.
Oh, they're putting it on.
No.
And that's why obviously I got my family involved. And people are asking, like, how was that for you? Did you move your hand?
No.
Did you do it?
No, none of us moved it. Honestly, none of us moved it. It was purely spontaneous. And the alarm going off, well, that we had nothing to do with that. And that was as it happened. And that night, you could feel that there was something not... Somebody didn't want us to be there.
But that's the thing. When people say that, I'm like, oh, you're just scared. Like, how can you feel that
something doesn't want you to be there? You can feel. You can feel it.
But here's the thing as well. You talk about the Ouija board. Mm. Because we went back to... It was Michelin Priory where you did it the first time. And we went back there and there was a new host.
Was that us three?
Yeah, when we went back there and we tried the Ouija board.
And it didn't, there was nothing.
Well, it was very evident that someone was pressing it.
Mate, so like basically, yeah, we went back there and the new lady that worked, she blatantly moved it because it wasn't working. And then she just so blatantly
because
pressed
we
and
were
moved
trying
it,
the three of us. Then she was like, let me join it. And all of a sudden it was like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. It was just, and that instantly killed the whole vibe. But like we went back there, and it didn't work. But that was the last time the Ouija board worked for us. And I think that was an interesting thing. But
it was.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
Have you ever had any other experiences?
I've had, when I was a child, I used to have someone hit my bed.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, was that in Station Road? Mm. Was your room my room?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Because
I've had someone grab my foot in that room. Yeah. I thought it was mum.
That's what they used to
shut up.
They grab your foot or hit the bed near your feet. Yeah. And Amy, Amy in the box room in Station Road used to hear children and hear them playing. Terrifying. Yeah. Amy also, when she was a child, she could see people's auras.
She used to see colours around them.
Yeah. She'd used to warn me at the age of 3 or 4 not to go near people because there was brown around them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it's
mental, isn't it?
Weird.
And then
there are people that are like that, though. Me and Theo were...
Well, apparently it's something as a child you've got, but you lose as you grow up.
Yeah, because we were speaking to... And this person must have retained it because she was a mother. And she was like, oh, yeah, like I can see auras around people. Like I can tell whether they're good or bad people. Yeah. I see the colours coming off them. And
do you guys let us know in the comments, like, have you heard any about this? Because obviously the flashes that I had in this house that one week, obviously I stayed on my mum's sofa for like the entire, like after that week, because I was too scared to live in the house. Yeah, well, mum didn't believe me and I was so frustrated.
What about the footage when you saw that footage?
Yeah, it was a bit hard not to believe it.
Tom, overlay the footage.
It was seeing those lights in different random places where you would never... We kept on thinking it's got to be something electrical. It's got to be...
Yeah, because at some point this did flash, but it's the way I had in my room, the flashes. And obviously in that waffling episode when I...
Two episodes ago,
there was flashes up there, and you boys were like, where? We've had multiple cars go out by outdoors. The bloody blinds are down now. It's not happening now.
Yeah. We got a video sent from that episode saying there was actually a flash in the top corner.
Yeah. Like, well,
people said they saw
really?
It.
Really?
But it's weird in that sense. And we've had a lot of people email in saying, oh, I keep getting the blue flashes. I keep getting white flashes. I keep getting, like other people are experiencing it. And I'm like, is it... Like people are saying it's your guardian angel or your spirit guide saying, like, I'm here or something like that. And it's all just mental. And I'm like, how far does that go? Is there another plane of beings or energy on this earth that we can't see but is always here?
What do you think is more likely to exist? This goes to both of you.
Here we go.
Yeah, you go.
Aliens or ghosts?
Ghosts.
Ghosts over aliens?
Well, because they're both real, mate. They are both 100% real, bruv.
Because you're terrified of aliens. That's what you're really terrified of.
I'm only terrified so I because they're real, because they exist. 100% other life, without question.
It's hard to believe that we're alone in the universe.
Well, because it's so huge.
Yeah. It is hard to believe, but I mean, at what point they contact us,
have they already?
Do you believe, buddy?
In aliens, for sure.
You don't believe in ghosts, even after what we've experienced.
I believe it, like, definitely that there are some unexplainable
energies.
Things that happen.
Yeah,
it's the energies, isn't it?
Yeah, there's energy. It's not necessarily ghosts, like, but...
Yeah, I'm not expecting, like, Casper to come through the door or anything, but there are unexplainable things, but I would also like more proof. I still said, like, I think it would be sick if we could go to... like some of these most haunted locations in the world. And actually, I want something to shit me up. That's what I want.
Yeah. I mean, we could. Like, as in, that's where I ideally would be the next step. I think, like, YouTube-wise, like, I mean, I've got, like, this video idea that I've got that I'm 100% not mentioning to anyone in case they steal the idea. But, like, a video like you just explained, going to an actual legitimate haunted crazy place and doing an absolute top of the range investigation, that would excite me. This other video idea that I've got that mate, it's going to be ridiculous.
Well, here's what I want to say.
That's going to be mental. Did that just stop? No. That's going to be mental. And I think on the YouTube front, forget YouTube as a platform, but just making videos. If an idea comes to me that I'm literally like, oh my God, so excited by, I'm just going to do it.
Well, no, because this is what I was going to say. I feel like you've got the bug for it a little bit. I feel like it's back.
Well, only for, like I say, like not to be a YouTuber, like forget whatever platform.
Creating videos.
But why do you have to put a label on it anyway?
That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what I've removed.
It's all, yeah.
I just want to make...
You don't want to put labels on things.
Yeah, how I'm looking at it is like, I want to make it... If I have an idea and I give that much of a crap about it, that I want to bring it to life.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do it. As in... I know that's what a lot of people have said anyway, but now because it's been enough time where there's literally nothing... no momentum that I need to cling on to. Like, oh, but you've got this channel with 5 million subscribers and this audience. Like, mate, like we've seen, I could upload now and probably only get like 100K views because a lot of the audience are gone. So it's almost like in my head, I'm starting from nothing. So there's no pressure. There's no audience, even though there probably is. But in my head, there's it's
that's
from
probably
scratch.
A better way to think.
Yeah,
of it
yeah, yeah.
Well.
Like we're over the hill now. It's you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not clinging on to that because it's done. It's like I'm now making videos. And if I want to put them, I'll put them on that channel. But, there's no pressure.
I think, I'm just going back to the ghost idea. Because
it's
cool.
Yeah.
If we get a brand that is willing to send us.
That's what I want to do. Yeah. Like, travelling-wise as well. Like, as in, I want to, and it may take making a few of them, but going to different places, trying different weird, crazy, wacky things. I've got an idea of something I want to do with that. Me and girlfriend, actually, we've had the idea of doing something like that. Going to different places that came off the back of doing the Formula E Monaco trip because that was such like a...
Did you film out there?
No, but I thought, mate, if I could have so easily made a thing out of this. Bear in mind, COVID did fuck it a little bit with having to... We couldn't... Once we were in the Formula E bubble, we couldn't leave. Like with Premier League matches, once you're in the stadium, I don't know, or once you're at the boxing matches, you have to stay in the bubble.
Yeah.
You're restricted. But under normal or more normal circumstances, that is so... The opportunities that I find myself in are such sick opportunities to make unique piece of content.
Because also, you got sent to... Where was that really nice place you went to a couple of years ago in Greece?
Mykonos.
Yeah, didn't they just... You didn't have to pay for anything.
I stayed in the place that Mo Salah stayed in for his holidays. 25 grand for 5 days, and they let me just go for free.
Because then you were like, Theo was like, wow, that looks amazing. Joe was like, oh yeah, they just sent me there. Like, just message them. I'm sure they'll let you go as well. And he got like offered like 5% discount or something. He was fuming.
That is the game. But yeah, no. But like stuff like that, 100%. Like, yeah, end of the day, I like creating. You've seen, when I get buzzing about an idea, I don't just think, oh, good idea. I get obsessed. Yeah. And when I start getting obsessed, that's when it's like, I know like I'm actually, and I'm sort of obsessed with this music thing that we've got coming up. And this other idea that I've got that's, oh, mate. But the thing is, they've said at first, this other idea that I've got. You know, normally with being a YouTuber with a following, oh, yeah, like, you know. I'll basically let me do it for free and I'll fucking plug everyone to you. Because I think when people see this, what I'm doing, they're going to want to try it for themselves. And he's just like, oh yeah, we haven't had any much fun or much benefit from collaborating with YouTubers. It's actually just cost us money and we haven't got a lot out of it. So I'm just having to pay, which is fine. But he's just... When people ask where it is and how to get there, like what am I meant to do? Just like blur it. Just so, not let anyone know. Because everyone's going to want to give it a go.
Yeah, but it's complicated because then if you think it's a really cool experience, you're going to want to just tell people, just be like, boys, just go and do it. It's like at the end of the day, you're doing it because you want to do it.
Yeah.
So like a little free promotion is not the worst thing in the world.
Well, what you just saying it earlier, you know, give something, you take something, don't you? Give something. You do something now and you get rewarded later on. You know, you just got to work with that.
Yeah. But forget the YouTuber privilege bollocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You get
not just you, I mean.
Yeah. YouTubers get used to just getting, you get an experience that involves a brand. Well, having followers is the most, lucrative currency now. like, because you can't really buy an audience that will listen to you. So it's like, if we have that, we can say, look, we'll direct this audience, these followers, to you in return, then it's a no-brainer for them.
It's the most powerful form of advertising. Like, well, yeah. You think that the adverts come on TV and you just pick up your phone and you're like, yeah, fuck watching them.
Yeah.
But if you're telling someone that is a fan of you.
Oh, mate, I won't even have to tell them. People will literally see this. It's just getting it, the exposure. Like, people will see this and go, oh, if there's a chance to give that a go, that I'm fucking doing it. It's ridiculous. Anyways.
It is sick. It is sick.
But yeah, you got any questions? I reckon we give it.
I got one that I actually thought of.
Go on then, hum.
Now, obviously, sorry, girlfriend, if you're listening, but yeah. you've had a few slag phases. You know, you can back me up here, Jenny. You've gone through phases where you've gone through girls, to put it in its most basic form. Mm-hmm. How does that make
me feel?
Yeah, knowing that, because here's the thing, like, you know, there's being sexually active and then there's being sexually active.
Yeah.
How did it make you feel, like, comparing Joe now, girlfriend Joe, to slag Joe, like, how does it make you feel knowing that sort of that behavior is going on? Not that it's wrong by any means, but you know, like, when you see your son maybe racking up the numbers.
No, I haven't liked it, Luke. I've got to be honest with you. I haven't liked it at all, have I? You know I haven't. So I think from that perspective, my heart is always with the girl, and I just, yeah. As much
what,
as
so
much
you're making
as
out that it was just all my decision.
No,
it's a two-way street.
No, oh, yeah. No,
sorry, no, feel for the girl. Well, poor girl.
No, but I think this is a generational thing again. I mean, you know, in my day, forgive me.
In the 60s, there were orgies going on all the time.
Absolutely.
When you were born, so.
Yeah, but I was on the tail end also.
It's how you were born.
That you didn't sleep with a girl or have a sexual relationship until you married. And, you know, that's how we were brought up. I'm not saying that happened, because obviously we're all human. But at the end of the day, when you then see that being misused or abused, whether it's consented on both sides.
Very consensual.
100% consensual. Yeah. Whether. not up for discussion, mate.
My view is that I always compare it to a Christmas present or a birthday present.
What? Okay? Oh, yeah, you want it wrapped.
You would not want your Christmas or birthday present given to you unwrapped, would you?
Yeah, but what so you meant to just dry hump them?
No, I just think there's plenty of things that you can do that doesn't mean you have to go the whole hog.
But
all
why
the
limit
time?
Yourself? No, not all the time, but as in, like, why limit yourself? Actually, no, I do get it. I do. I know it is dodgy. Nah, it's awful. Nah, it's amazing. I don't know. But at the end of the day, one thing I've noticed since sort of leaving that lifestyle behind, now that I'm with my girlfriend, is I'm very much more now on it with life. Back eating clean gains. I am finally cutting weight. Those calling me a fatty. I've been cutting fat, 2 kg down. I'm on making the music. I'm at a photo shoot all the time. I'm not staying up till like 5 a.m. and just being a waste man. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, we were practicing the DJ and stuff, obviously, when me and Elliot were doing the parties and whatnot, and it was great, but I'm much more like, as a human being, healthier, on it, like, boom.
It's the same with anything. My view is that if you are in control of your life, if you have some sort of discipline within your life, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's eating clean, whether it's, I don't know, putting your all into work or whatever, somehow that then has a knock-on effect to the other areas in your life.
Right, yeah.
And you have
a
much more controlled, forward-thinking life.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, in those phases you do, not like personality-wise, but you change for sure in how you approach everything. Like you say, the weller that I'm more familiar with is like a gym goer, a clean eater, a hard worker. Whereas when you do go through those phases, I feel like you're none of those.
You just sort of let yourself go.
Well, yeah, it's just, but that's the thing. I think having those phases though is that actually did me good, as long as they were phases, as in like having that as a phase, like having that, because where I have been so squeaky clean in terms of like eat clean, work out, don't go out, but just keep myself to myself and train, like I was like, I'm not experiencing, I'm not actually just having fun. I'm like, to just let my hair down in a way and just go, you know what, I'm going to be a bit crazy. I'm not going to just be rigid with my lifestyle, while especially with COVID, where it was, you know, we haven't losing years of our life. Mm. When the restrictions got lifted and we were able to sort of socialize a bit, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And don't get me wrong, I got to a point where it was just like, I mean, it did coincide with obviously meeting my girlfriend, but it was like, this is, I'm just sort of becoming a waste man now. Like, I am just becoming a waste man. And I think through being inspired through her, obviously, you know, she's hardworking, she's got ambition, you know, definitely more intelligent than me and all of that. It's like, I think that has actually helped me to go back to my sort of healthier ways. And it's now not so much, oh, I'm feeling like I'm restricting myself, like eating clean, but in a bad way, where I'm restricting myself of key, you know, I would have no carbs and just eat in a way that way, you know, ketogenic, which just made you lose weight, but isn't the healthiest. Whereas now we have balanced diets. I, you know, we eat freely and enjoy ourselves, but I, you know, I'm hitting a certain amount of calories a day and it's working and it's quality and we're filled with energy. And it's, and I think, yeah, like little adjustments like that, and it's, yeah, it's decent.
But also, as I say, if you're full of energy, you're going to get more passion for things.
Yeah, and enthusiasm.
More effort into something. Mm. And that's where it comes. So you sort of got to give yourself the 80-20 rule, haven't you, of being good 80% of the time and letting yourself go 20% of the time, and then recognising when to pull yourself back. You know, unfortunately, you know, people that do give it all up and let themselves go totally normally end up on a downward slope.
Yeah, that's what
I
going.
Don't mean that judgmentally. I'm just...
Well, yeah, no, it's that, like, then you start noticing that, look, yeah, because those is what the biggest thing that I noticed through having that sort of fuck it mentality of just, yeah, let's do it, yeah, let's do it, is like it's short term bursts of almost like happiness, like getting smashed, worry. But then long term, how does that make you feel? A bit low.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just going, oh, I'm not going to do any work this week, I'm just going to enjoy myself. Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of instant gratification. Eating that food, having that triple cheeseburger. Oh, my God, this is amazing. But long term.
And then afterwards, where does it get you?
Whereas now, there may be some areas where it's like a bit of discipline, a bit of like, oh, I'm not getting that instant hit. But overall, I'm spending 23 out of the 24 hours of the day feeling good.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key.
And that doesn't mean, though, that you have to be... you know, the perfect size 10 and all that, you know.
It's more about health.
Yeah, you can be whoever you are. It doesn't matter, as long as you actually have that internal discipline and that internal satisfaction in doing something and, you know, build yourself and make yourself go forward. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think on that note...
So what we're saying is we like girlfriend, Joe.
We like girlfriend, yeah. Girlfriend's respect. Good. Girlfriend's, yeah, she's cool.
Wicked. Well, on that note, we've been rolling for an hour and 10.
Wow.
I'm going to wrap it there. How did you enjoy yourself on Waffling Mum?
Yeah, it's good, actually.
It's good.
Can I do it again?
Of course. Back on season 2. Well, anyways, guys, we hope you did enjoy this episode. If you did, leave a like rating. Subscribe if you're new. Comment if you made it this far, saying, Mother, we love your necklace.
Oh,
it's a real diamond.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, mental. anyways, and we'll see you in the next episode. Peace.
Peace.